we've been having testimonies on Wednesday, and it's been really, really good. I want to encourage you to come. Amen. Support it. If you're able to, come and support it. Be a part of it. But it's been amazing. We're really getting to listen to one another's story. And we're witnessing the miraculous as God is just revealing, you know, through that report of how faithful He is to us and what He has done in our lives and how far many of us have come from where we were. Amen. By the grace of God, by faith in the Lord. So it's been very encouraging, and it's helping us to get to know each other a little bit better too. You know, you can spend years in a church and yet never really get to know people around you unless you start to kind of connect. Amen. And what our heart and our prayer is that everyone here would assimilate in. Okay? I mean, connect to the body. Don't just come and attend, but be a part, a participant. Amen? Because as a body, every member has a role, amen, and a function. So don't ever think that, well, I don't really have that much to offer or I don't have anything. Yes, you do. And just you being here is a blessing. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
It is a blessing. How many are glad to see people, especially if you haven't seen them for a while and they show up, you're like, oh man, it's so good to see you. Hallelujah. But God has a mission for every one of us, and He wants us to connect, amen, to the life of the body. I mean, if any member is not connected to the main body, come on somebody, what happens to that member? It begins to, right. And that is an illustration that Paul gave us, that we're all members individually of one body in Christ. Amen. And it's very important that we stay connected in the Spirit, because the Spirit is the bond of peace. It's the Holy Spirit that brings us together in true unity. And you can get together and have town meetings, and rarely, I don't go to those things for a reason, but if I were to go to one, I'm not opposed to it. I think we need to be involved in men as much as we can. But the thing is this, is that people try to get along in their own ability and their own strength. Nations have been trying to get along for thousands of years. How well has that worked? Now, there are more wars going on today than ever in history. I don't know how many now, but a few years ago, there was 160 wars and skirmishes going on around the world. 160. And so we look around, and our world is very upset, isn't it? It's dysfunctional because of sin. And the only solution is Jesus Christ. He is the peace, amen, that we need. And He's the peace that passes all understanding. So people think, well, if we can just try to get along, you know, work harder on getting along, then we'll have world peace. If maybe we can drum for peace, or maybe we can meditate for world peace, or, you know, all kinds of ideas that people come up with as a means of having world peace. How many know there's going to be a pseudo peace? There's coming a time where there'll seemingly be peace, but it'll be deceptive peace. It won't be the peace of God. It'll be the spirit of Antichrist that has so duped people into political correctness and conformity that people are going to bow down and worship the beast. And right now, you can see how there's a lot of political bullying going on right now, where people are afraid to speak up and speak their mind for fear that they'll be excluded or labeled as a racist or a homophobe or whatever it might be. There's all kinds of titles and labels that people are throwing around simply to say that you can't have your own opinion. You have to have the view that we have. Otherwise, you're this or you're that. And so that spirit of Antichrist, and everything, of course, in that whole mindset is anti-Christian, anti-Christ, anti-Word of God. So we've got to get back to the Word of God and let the Word of God be our standard. Amen. What does God say? We're only bowing down to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're not bowing down to no idols. Amen. So anyways, you and I have been called to be salt and to be light in this world. And we can't do that if we are chameleons. And we conform to every situation we find ourselves. Oh, I'm with this group. I'm like that group. Are you hearing me, somebody? I'm in church. I'm like church group now. But what about the Monday group? Are you the same person today as you are on Monday? We can be. We should be, and we can be. Because greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. The devil has lied to many people and flip-flopped that. He's tried to make Himself look so big and so powerful that in some people's minds they think He is more powerful than God. And that's why they worship the beast. Because they think He's greater. They think He's God. They will actually worship the devil as though he were God. But we need to understand that we serve El Elyon, the Most High God, the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Amen. And every knee will bow to Him. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. He's coming this time not to be crucified and nailed on a cross. This time He's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's coming to rule. He's coming to reign. He's putting down all rule and authority, and He shall reign over the nations. He's coming. Hallelujah. And He's our God. He's our King. And He has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Amen. Crying out, Abba, Father, we're His people. And we join forces with Him. Amen. Who is the leader and who is the overcomer? And in Him we are also overcomers. So don't bow down to political correctness. Stick to your morals. Amen. Stick to your values. Take a stand. I found out that if I stand up for Jesus, He stands up in me. I want to talk about staying strong in the Lord, how to stay strong in the Lord today. How many would agree with me that our Heavenly Father wants His people to be healthy and well nourished? And that He freely provides everything that we have need of. 2 Peter 1:3 says, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. But it is our responsibility as God's people to maintain the flame, to keep a supply of oil, to stay strong in the Lord. It doesn't automatically happen. Did you know that? We have a responsibility to stay strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord. Don't be strong in yourself. Don't be strong in your willpower. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How many know that our willpower can only go so far? Anybody beside myself ever collapse under the pressure of man before? Conformity maybe to what the crowd or the group was doing because you didn't want to be singled out as being different and you just wanted to kind of go along with what was popular, what others were doing. Anybody beside me? Maybe a hand. I see there must be one hand. Okay. If you didn't raise your hand, we're going to pray for you. Because in your humanity, we're all subject, amen, to that pressure and to that spirit of Antichrist that wants us to conform to this world and the standards of this world. But the only way for us to overcome is to abide in the overcomer, is to stay strong in the Lord. I want us to take a look at Psalms 106 today. What we need to do is we need to guard against anything that would rob us of our spiritual strength and vitality. You know as well as I do that if you don't eat right, and you don't exercise, you can get weak. Amen. You can get sick. Naturally, that's the way it is. And so spiritually, we also need to be healthy and strong. And we need to exercise disciplines. Amen. Such as prayer and the Word of God. Amen. Church attendance. Being together with God's people. Psalms 106, verse 7. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. They forgot what God had done. Nevertheless, He saved them for His name's sake, that He might make His mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. So in type, we see a people that were redeemed. He did what? He redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The blood of the Lamb, amen, which is a type of the cross of Christ and the blood of Jesus, amen. They were delivered out of bondage by the blood of the Lamb. He redeemed them. He purchased them, amen, brought them out of bondage. And he brought them into a place where they had never been before, because God wanted to teach them and train them and equip them for what was ahead of them. And this is where many didn't make it. Many fell in the wilderness due to unbelief, because they had forgotten what God had done. Do you know, if we don't continue in the Word of God, we can forget. We can forget what God has done. If we don't keep ourselves mindful of what God has promised, we can forget. And we can start believing the wrong report. We can start believing what we see rather than what God says. And so the waters covered their enemies, it says. There was not one of them left. Then they believed his words, and they sang his praise. How many have been there? This morning we were singing the praises of our God. Amen. Because he's liberated us. He set us free. Amen. He's brought us out of bondage. Hallelujah. We're free in Christ Jesus today. If you're free in the Lord, you know, you rejoice automatically. If God has set you free from bondage, you've been in hundreds of years, they've been in bondage. God set his people free. Come on, they weren't sitting around having a quiet time. They were rejoicing. Hallelujah. I'm not against quiet times. I'm just saying there's a time for that, and there's a time to rejoice. Amen. But when you've been in bondage and you've been set free, your heart automatically rejoices, because it's like that thing came off you. That heavy load is no longer on you. And you set my feet to dancing. You fill my mouth with song. We rejoice as the children of Zion before their king. Hallelujah. But it says something shifted, something changed here. Hear this in verse 13. They soon forgot his works again. I'm going to say again in there, because this is what it's talking about. And they did not wait for his counsel. We can get in a hurry and get out of God's will. You know what I'm saying? Been there, done that. But lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. You remember they had cried out, they wanted the quail, they wanted the meat, because they had been eating the manna and the water and drinking the water, right? And so they were not satisfied with that. As a matter of fact, the reason why they became dissatisfied with what God was providing for them was because there was external influences. We're going to talk about that. There was other things that were tugging at them. Maybe even relationships that they shouldn't have been involved with, that were pulling them in the wrong direction, and they weren't strong enough to resist it. And so God gave them the request, but he sent what? Leanness. Verse 15, but sent leanness into their soul. He gave them the request, but sent what? Leanness into their soul. And the word simply means thinness. As if a wasting disease is another way to interpret that. It was like they had received some type of wasting disease. Now, if a person has a wasting disease in their body, they start to lose weight. They start to get gaunt. Amen. Their skin begins to, you know, show the signs of malnutrition. Amen. Because the disease is eating them up. And so if a person, for example, is in a place where there's no food or not enough good food, they get malnourished. They become thin and unhealthy. Amen. And if they don't get the nourishment that they need, they will die. Or they'll die young. And so this is the type that we're seeing here, that they had complained about what God had provided for them. Now, the reason why God brought them out, first of all, is because He wanted to bring them in someplace, right? He wanted to bring them into the land. So He took them out of Egypt to bring them into a place that was flowing with milk and honey. But God had to condition His people through the wilderness wanderings that they could be equipped and prepared to face the giants that they would face one day, right? And begin to displace the enemies of God and enter into their inheritance. And so in the wilderness, this is the time of testing. And all of us have our times of testing, don't we? And this is where we need to remember the faithfulness of God. Remember what the Lord did. Remember how the Lord brought me out. Remember where I used to be. And that's why testimonies are powerful, because we're going back and reliving some of that, amen, as a reminder of not only where I've been, but look what God has done now today. In my life, how He's changed my life so much. So God gave them what they lusted for, but unfortunately, because they were not willing to yield to the will of God, God gave them leanness of soul. Now, I'm going to talk about this a little bit more here, because we need to really focus on this day. What does leanness of soul look like, and what does it really mean? And what do I do to avoid leanness of soul? Now, Judy Lynn, she's not here today, but she did a little teaching yesterday morning at the training. She talked about if you could see your spirit separated from your body, all of a sudden your body's here and your spirit got separated. She says, what would your spirit look like in comparison to your body? Meaning, you may have a healthy, strong build, amen, well-nourished body, but what's going on with your spirit? How many know that your spirit man is the most important part of you? And so if your spirit is separated from your body, you may be 250 strapping, you know, solid muscle, all right? Or what about your spirit? But your spirit can be a 97-pound weakling. And you know, there are people like that in the world, aren't there? Even in the kingdom, maybe. That externally, they're strong, they're buffed. They may even be intimidating to some people. But what's going on the inside? How strong are you really? Because inner strength is true strength, isn't it? It's not how much you can lift on the outside. But can you overcome your enemy? Can you control your body, amen, by your spirit? Can you tell your mind what to do? Amen? By your spirit. Is your mind in submission to your spirit? Because if your outer man is stronger than your inner man, guess who's going to be winning? Guess who's going to be calling the shots? Amen? The flesh. The outer man. Amen? So what we need to understand is that we need to build up our inner man and be strong in the Lord. Amen? So that if you have strong character, amen, built up in the Lord, hallelujah, you're strong in His power, His might, then your outer man will automatically be under the influence of the Spirit. The inner man will override the outer man, and the outer man will conform. And so God gave them what they lusted for, because this is the problem, is sometimes we think we know better than God. And we don't always like what we have to drink in this world. You know, the cup that we have to drink, the cup represented, you know, your life and what you were served up in this world. And sometimes it's something that God wants to work through. Sometimes it's something that God wants to deliver you from. But in other cases, it's something that God wants to take you through to develop your character and make you strong in Him. And teach you how to learn how to depend on His grace, so that the manifestation of God's Spirit and power, amen, is released out of your life and manifested in your life. So that people are not getting you as much as they are Jesus. Now, we are in partnership with Jesus, so people are going to see and hear us, amen? But what we want is people to see and hear Jesus. We want Him to override us. Amen? So, prioritizing. Here's some of the things that bring leanness. Are you ready? Number one, prioritizing temporary pleasures over eternal realities. So, we may call it the good life. Many people are pursuing the good life. You've heard it said, keeping up with the Joneses, having the latest and the best, and in pursuit of wealth, pursuit of treasure, earthly treasure. You know, now, God's not opposed to earthly treasure, by the way. But the problem is we get sometimes our priorities mixed up, and we become pursuers of things rather than God. And that thing that might have been even a gift from God in the first place can become an idol. So now that becomes your priority. It could be even a hobby. It could be your business. It could be your family that becomes an idol. It could be sports that becomes an idol. Whatever is coming between you and your God is an idol. And John said, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Because idols will produce leanness of soul. It will choke the life of God out of you. And if you're full of worldly things, that's what's going to come out of your life. If you're focusing on earthly things, that's what's going to come out. But if you're focused on heavenly things, if you've got your mind stayed on Him, if you meditate on the Word of God day and night, if you are drinking in His presence and His Word, guess what comes out of your mouth? The Word. Hallelujah. Now, Numbers 11:4 says, now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. It's talking about Israel in the wilderness. There was a mixed multitude. In other words, there was Egyptians mixed in. They yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? It's not fair. They get to go out and party and do all this stuff. And here I am eating manna and drinking water. They're enjoying the good life, and I've just got this little bowl of porridge. It's not fair. A couple weeks ago, I was talking about the superior pleasure of God. Amen? And if you are delighting yourself in Him, if you are discovering the greatness and the awesomeness and the wonder of who He is, amen, the things of this life will pale in comparison, and you'll find your heart delighting in Him instead. You want Him more than the stuff. And God said, if you put me first and you prioritize me in your life and make sure you remember what I've done for you, amen, then I'll take care of the stuff. I'll make sure you're taken care of in the stuff area. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But sometimes when we get the stuff, we forget God. We start to make idols out of the stuff. I got to go fishing today. I know the body of Christ getting together, but it's a good day to go fishing. I think I'll go fishing. Besides, I'm more closer to God on the boat. I'm going hunting today because I'm closer to God in the woods. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? I'm not picking on anybody that wants to go fishing. I'm talking about priorities. What is of value to you? Where your heart is. Where's your heart at? Because Jesus said where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. If He's really the treasure and the delight of your heart, of your life, your life revolves around Jesus. He's the center of your life. Come on, somebody. If it's other stuff, that's what you're going to spend all your time doing. And you may give God a little spare time, a little leftovers. I'll punch the clock on Sunday morning, punch out promptly. And then I'll tell myself, you did well today. You went to church. My, aren't you holy? How many know we should be in church? We should be gathering more often, especially as we see the day approaching. We should keeping our minds on heaven, amen? I'm not coming across as legalistic, am I? How many know if it's the Word of God, it's not legalistic? Amen. God says, gather, fellowship, get together with brothers and sisters, pray for one another, admonish one another, encourage one another, amen. Correct one another, right, if necessary. But love one another. You're a family, and we need to be together, amen. And we take care of each other. And if we have a need here, we try to help one another with the need, amen. If you have a gift that you can you can add to, then do so. If everybody does their part, the job gets done. And the body is healthy because every member is functioning according to its purpose. Everybody here, everybody in this room is important. Don't listen to that voice that tells you you're not of value. But they were in a mixed multitude and the people around them begin to influence them. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it, today? We're in a mixed company, aren't we? We're in a world of where it's this mixed up, period. And there's a mixture of people around us with all kinds of vices and ideas of what the good life is all about. And if we're not careful, we can get distracted and we can start to wander off and then start to indulge in things that are not good for us. We can start to drink from polluted waters, amen? And they'll make us sick. And in some cases, we may even influence somebody else to do likewise because of our bad example. Because we're not living right. We can be influencing somebody else, our children, our grandchildren, whoever it might be. People that love you, people that are around you, people that you work with, they're watching your life. Are you a child of God? What does a child of God look like? Well, he's supposed to look like Jesus. He's supposed to live and walk and live like Jesus. Amen? And I'm learning how to do that. How about you? How many know that who you associate with can negatively influence you? You start getting in with the compromisers. You start getting in with the complainers. Come on, even if it's a brother or sister, if they're just into complaining all the time, don't spend too much time there. Amen? Because you can find yourself all of a sudden, you're getting into the complaining thing. And you know God hates complaining, amen, because it's a lack of faith in Him. That's what happened to Israel. They started complaining about the manna. They started complaining, it's not enough. It's not good enough. They're eating meat over here, you know. They got influenced by the lusting of those around them. The influence of the world started to creep in to the camp, and they found themselves starting to conform to the pattern of the world around them. Because they had forgotten what God had done. Do you know you and I can become self-righteous if we forget what God has done for us? We need to remember where we came from and what God's done in our lives and how He's rescued us and how He's been so good to us and so gracious to us. Amen. Lest we forget and all of a sudden we start to think that my hand has done all this. That's what happened to Israel. They became arrogant and they began to think that they did it. Even though they had witnessed the miracles of God, they still got caught up in that. How many know that God's not opposed to good food? It wasn't about the food, amen? It was about the condition of the heart that says, I'm not going to receive the cup that God's given me. I want it my way and not His way. And sometimes we find ourselves in a situation in life that we cannot change. No matter how hard we try to change it, it doesn't change. But what God wants to do is change us in the midst of that. And we have to trust Him that we are in the palm of His hand. If we're His people, He's going to work it together for our good. I don't have to understand everything. All I need to know is His heart is good. And my Lord loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know. So if I don't understand everything God is doing, it's okay. Some people, they get so bad, they're saying, well, why did God? And why did God? I don't know, and it doesn't bother me. Because I know God is good. That's all I know. I know God is love. That's all I know. I know that God has been merciful to me. I don't deserve a thing He did for me. I don't deserve Jesus, but He loved me anyways. And that's all I need to know. See, manna was God's supernatural provision. It was a supernatural thing that God did for them. And they didn't have to work for it. I mean, how many know that we don't have to work for what God did for us and what He supplies for us freely by His Spirit? We can come to the banquet. We don't have to have a meal ticket. We're joint heirs. We're sons and daughters. We can come into the throne. Hallelujah. And we can dine. But you know what? If you're filling your life up on other stuff, other things, you're not going to sense a hunger for the things that truly satisfy. And you can become lean. You can start to starve spiritually, waste away spiritually, and sometimes not even aware of what's happening. Others around you are going to say, man, what's happened to Joe? Are there any Joes out here this morning? What happened to Joe? You know? So what we want to do is we want to encourage each other, amen, to avoid the things that would choke the life of God out of us. And instead, fill up, feed, build up your inner man, your spirit, so that you become strong in character, strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that way, your inner man is in control of the outer man. And you're living a life that honors God because your flesh is just going along for the ride. It's not telling you what to do. You're telling it what to do. Psalms 106:13, they soon forgot His works and they did not wait for His counsel. So they began to prioritize temporary things. They wanted instant gratification. That's what it was. They didn't want to have to wait for what God had promised. And they didn't want to have to go through anything to get to what God promised. They wanted to go from first base to home base without going through second and third. They wanted a shortcut. How many know that that's not how it works? God has to condition and prepare us for what He has up ahead. And so we need to understand that even though I may not understand what's happening in my life right now, I know that God loves me, God is with me, God is for me, and God promises in Romans 8:28 to do what? Work all things together for the good to them that love the Lord. Jesus said it this way in Mark 4:18, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, but the cares or the worries of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. In other words, they do not mature. They don't come to the maturity where they're bearing fruit because they are being prematurely choked out, amen, by other things that have come in. They're idols, things, idols of the heart, things that have taken the place of God. And the person, without even realizing it sometimes, is wasting away. They're becoming thin. You ever heard the word thin-skinned? We can become spiritually thin-skinned. And when you're spiritually thin-skinned, you do not have the boldness. You do not have the courage, the moral integrity sometimes, to stand strong and to stand firm against the opposition of the enemy. And you can very easily begin to conform and to compromise because your inner man is weak. But when you're strong in the Lord, you have supernatural ability, supernatural boldness, the ability to say no where the whole crowd may be saying yes. You can stand. Because Christ will stand in you when you stand for Him. So what were the three things here that were stunning the growth of this individual, the seed that fell among the thorns? Number one was worries. Two was riches. And the other things could be temporary pleasures. What does worry do? Well, worry causes leanness of soul. Because what is worry? Worry is actually unbelief. Worry is you and I saying, God's not big enough, God's not able, so I have to worry about it. How many have ever changed anything in your life by worrying? When has worrying ever helped at all in anything? If we're worried about anything, we just need to get into the heart of our Father, amen? We need to go sit on Jesus' lap, amen? So, Lord, I need some help here. I need to cast this thing on You because that's just too much for me. And I'm not supposed to be carrying it anyways. Worrying is a sign that we don't believe that God is big enough to take care of it. Come on, somebody. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. What is that? In supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, supplication is an earnest entreaty. It's not just a whisper prayer in the morning prayer. It's a crying out, amen, to God prayer. Seeking God desperately. Pursuing His presence, amen, with passion. A supplication. Jesus was in the garden. He supplicated in the garden, didn't He? With great drops of blood. As He cried out to the Father with tears and loud cries. There's a time, guys, when you've got to get a hold of God and you've got to get into a place where you're just desperate enough that I don't care if who's around, what people think about this. Right now, I need to get a hold of God. And I'm going to cry out and I'm going to pursue. I'm going to break through. If there's an oppression on my life, I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm going to praise the Lord until that thing leaves me. Amen. We got a drive-through mentality. Well, I asked, nothing happened, so I guess God's not going to do it. Pursue God. Seek God. Contend for your miracle. Well, I prayed once, nothing happened. Well, I guess God's not going to do it. Seek Him. Remember when they prayed for the man who was blind? First time Jesus prayed for him. He said, what do you see? He says, well, it looks like trees walking around. Right? So what did he do? He prayed again. And he received his full sight. What did he do? He went the extra mile. He pursued. Amen. He kept on until the man was completely healed. Hebrews 11:6 says, without what? Faith. It's impossible to please God. We must believe He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Psalms 55:22 says, cast your burden on the Lord and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. So whatever you're worried about today, whatever's eating at you, you're not supposed to be carrying it. You're not supposed to be tolerating that. Get a hold of God. Cry out to God. Get into His presence. Put your, like Larry Seymour used to say, put your ugly praise on. Just go for it. Get over the opinions of others, amen, and pursue God. Be a Hannah, amen, in prayer. Or the Eli thought she was drunk or something. Man, this woman is like really something wrong with her. And she says, no, she was just pouring her heart out to God. Another thing is, of course, is a preoccupation with wealth leads to leanness of soul. You know, I've seen this many times. And I myself, I'm no different than anybody else. I have to guard against this very thing. That I don't want to become materialistic, amen, and be pursuing just temporal things of this life. Because if I'm filling my life with things, material things, if I'm finding satisfaction in material things, then what happens is, again, the life of God is choked out. There's no capacity for God to be the one who's satisfying. Amen. And I begin to become thin. I become skinny, if you will, spiritually, because other things are entering in and choking out. Amen. So God, again, is not opposed to things, but he's opposed to the worshiping of things. You know, people, I mean, I know some people that they worship their car, man. I don't know how else to say it. They got a really nice car, but man, they give that car a whole lot more attention than they do God. Because pursuing the wrong things will lead to a fruitless life. So if we're replacing the Lord with other things, we're going to find ourselves spiritually emaciated. Leanness of soul. And so the more complex our lives become by adding other things, the less room there is for the will of God. Other things can cause leanness of soul. You get that? The enemy wants us to get so busy with so many things. Well, we got to have Johnny wearing the best tennis shoes and the best clothes and the best school and the, you know, I heard Mario Murillo say this years ago. Some of you remember Mario Murillo? Remember him? He said, I'd rather have my kids sitting on my lap, loving on me in an apartment, than living in the Taj Mahal and my kids going to hell. You know, something to that effect. And I thought, yeah, that's good wisdom right there. Because this stuff is temporary, amen? What better investment than to invest, amen, the things of God into your children, the Word of God into your children, to train them in the way that they should go when they're young. Amen. To make your children your priority, amen, so they're going to grow up and know the Lord. Hallelujah. That is an inheritance, amen. That is leaving a legacy that can carry on even long after we're gone. So the enemy wants to bog us down and make our lives complicated. God wants us to live a simple life. Jesus lived a simple life. Amen. And in America, it's a trap. It's very easy in America. Amen. Because there's so much. We're surrounded with stuff. Man, I mean, people come from other countries to America and they go in the grocery store and they're like, whoa. You know? Or a department store and they're like, wow. Do you realize how rich you people are? Come on, the poor in America are rich. Compared to most of the world. And this is a huge one for America right here. It's that seed that fell, amen, among the thorns. It's being choked out. Israel. They lost sight. They lost sight of where they were going. What happened is they started to look back to Egypt, didn't they? They started to look back. God delivered them out. They were miserable, enslaved in Egypt. Amen? God, through 10 tremendous miracles, delivers them out. They find themselves in a time of testing where God was supernaturally providing for them. It says that their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out. God was taking care of them. They didn't have a worry, and they didn't have to work for anything. All they had to do is receive and be thankful. Just be thankful. If all you got to eat is manna, be thankful. Amen? Don't complain. In all things, give thanks. Even things we don't understand, give thanks because you know God's got you. He's working in your life. He's doing something that's of eternal value. So here they are. They lost sight. And then they start to look back to Egypt. In Egypt, we had the leeks, you know, we had the flesh pots. I mean, we were eating good in Egypt, and maybe we ought to just go back to where we were. How many know that bridge was burned out? There's no going back. You can't go back to where you were. God's taking you somewhere. You got to look forward to where you're going. Keep your eyes on Him. They were supposed to follow the Lord's presence, weren't they? They were supposed to navigate by the Spirit. He was the cloud, amen, by day and the fire by night. And if they saw the Lord lift from the camp, they were to follow Him. It's time to move. Oh, the Lord is settling down. Let's settle down for a little while. Sometimes I find myself being busy when God's not. Amen? Or maybe being settled when God's busy. What we want to do is learn how to stay in step with the Spirit. What's God doing? God interrupts my plans. I got to be saying, yes, Lord. Okay, we're doing this today. I planned on doing this, but I'm going with you because what you're doing is much better. And I've never lost when I've said no to me and yes to Him. I've never regretted saying no to me and yes to Him. But I have regretted saying no to Him and yes to me. It ain't worth it. Believe me, you lose more than you gain by saying no to Him. God's a good God, and He's an extravagant Father. He wants to bless you more than you know you could be blessed. He'll bless you beyond what you're able to believe or understand could be possible for your life if you will seek Him and draw near to Him. Remember Esau in Genesis 25, Jacob's brother? Remember what happened? Hebrews 12:15. He talks about this, but Esau basically forfeited his birthright for a bowl of lentils, for some stew, a temporary gratification, temporary satisfaction. And he didn't care about the long thing. Are you hearing me? Sometimes we get so caught up in the moment of just having the instant gratification that we might be sacrificing something of eternal value. You ever heard the saying, short-term pain for long-term gain? Sometimes, guys, there's going to be short-term pain, but if you endure it, and if you're faithful, and you trust the Lord, and you give Him thanks, and amen, and you know that God is with you, God is for you, God has taken you through something, but on the other side of that is going to be the blessing. On the other side of that is going to be the fulfillment of that thing which He had promised you. Don't become weary in well-doing. Continue, amen, to do what God has shown you to do. Keep on sowing in the Holy Spirit, and eventually what you have sown will come back to you. Don't get distracted. Don't get bogged down. Don't get mixed up in the world. Don't let other things choke the life out of you and rob you of your eternal inheritance. Esau, for one bowl of porridge, of lentil stew, he compromised his inheritance. Jacob, on the other hand, who was a supplanter, he wasn't a good guy. But Jacob saw something of greater value in the inheritance. Do you understand? Sometimes, guys, we compromise what God has for us in the long run for just the temporary fix. I can't deny this relationship. I can't deny my flesh. I gotta satisfy my flesh. And God is saying, how about marriage, guys? How about this thing that's rare to find anymore? How about virginity anymore? How about saving yourself for somebody, amen, for your husband or your wife? Something that's worth waiting for. Something that's of value because you see that the fruit of your marriage will be so much better if you just wait. And you enter into this covenant pure. Amen? Between one man, one woman, the two become one. How many know that the consummation of marriage is sexual intercourse? The act itself. That was what consummated a marriage. And now our society and our children, too, are being grown up. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. Guys, I get it. We've been told this lie. But now our kids today. I was talking with somebody. She was 13 years old, and she's already confused about, am I gay? Am I straight? Am I bisexual? 13 years old. It's like, what? That's the world. I mean, that's the influence. That's what's happening, you know? That's where we're at right now. It's the instant gratification. I got to have it all right now. I don't want to wait for anything. Don't wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. And so even back in the 60s, remember, it was the Left Behind and everybody was expecting the rapture at any moment. And the rapture could happen at any moment. But people began to just not plan their lives. They just said, well, Jesus is coming any moment, so there's no sense in me getting an education or going to work or doing anything. I'm just going to kind of float around and be spiritual. The next thing you know, they're out panhandling. Hey, could you help? How many know that the Lord wants you to live as if you have one day? Like today is the last day. But plan as if you have 100 years. Consider the ant, the proverb says, right? The plant provided, amen? For his family, he was planning ahead for what was coming. So don't get this mentality of, you know, the hippie thing where you just kind of tune out and play your guitar, sing Kumbaya, whatever. Yeah. See, God's very practical and God gives us wisdom. God gives us instruction, doesn't he? How to plan your future, plan, take care of your family. Hallelujah, man. If a man doesn't provide for his own, he's less than an infidel, the Bible says. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or immoral or profane godless person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Now listen, for you know that afterwards when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. In other words, he had an opportune time. God gives you a season in life. God gives you and I opportunity, amen, to listen and obey His instruction for our lives. There comes a time, amen, when that window of opportunity closes. So while God is opening the opportunity, take advantage of it. When God is calling you to pray, take advantage of it. If God is calling you to fast, take advantage of it. If God is calling you to spend time in His Word and at His feet, in His presence, take advantage of it. Amen? Praise God. You will never regret denying yourself for Him. There's times when my flesh wants to do something else and I have to say no. How many know what I'm talking about? We have to be consistent about this. We have to be diligent about this. We have to be very careful about this because your adversary is trying to take you out. He's a thief. He wants to rob you of what God has freely given. He wants you to live like a pauper in the kingdom. He wants you to dine on dip and chips when there's a banquet set before you. He wants to steal from you, amen, and get you to satisfy yourself on temporary, worldly, empty, vain things, amen, so that your life becomes emaciated, your spiritual life becomes emaciated. When God is saying, listen, you need to set your sight above those things. Those are only temporary for the using for now, but those who do the will of God will abide forever. He said, store up for yourself treasure in heaven. Live for eternity. How many say yes to that today? Amen. What was going on with Esau? Guys, this is the very thing that we're talking about. Momentary gratification. I just want it now. I don't care about the future. I don't care about any of that. I don't care about Canaan. I just want the meat now in the wilderness. Just give it to me now. That's what the attitude of Israel was. And that's why it grieved the father. Because the father saw, amen, up ahead, that there was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. His people were going to be so blessed if they would believe Him and be disciplined in their life and trust Him, even when they didn't understand what God was doing, but to trust His heart. He had already proven Himself over and over again in Egypt, how He could take care of them, how He could deliver them, and how He could sustain them, even in the wilderness, because God took them out to take them in. He was taking them somewhere. Amen. And they got distracted. And they got influenced by the others who begin to lust after these temporary things. Temporary gratification. Momentary gratification. Jeremiah 17 and 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. Wow. That's pretty strong. Who said it? I didn't. God said it. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. What are we talking about? Leanness. Wasting away. Emaciated. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. They never stop producing fruit. They never stop producing fruit. They never, say it with me, they never stop producing fruit. Enter David. Psalm 63:1. This is when David was in the wilderness of Judah. This was his time of trial. This is his testing ground, his proving ground. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied. I love this. As with marrow and, everybody say it, fatness. It's okay, you can be fat in the spirit, amen? And my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips when I remember you on my bed. I meditate on you in the night watches because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. David found the Lord to be his greatest treasure. My heart cries out that God, you will be my greatest treasure. That I would have no other gods before you. I wouldn't allow other things, idols to come in, that come between us, Lord. I don't want to be spiritually emaciated or sickly. I want to be strong in the Lord. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I want my heart to burn with holy passion and love for you and for others, God. I want to be a vessel for you, God. And I don't want anything, Lord, to choke out the life and the joy I have of fellowship with you. If you're delighting yourself in the Lord, it's because you have found that nothing in this world compares to the glory of His presence, to the beauty of His presence. He is the one, only one that really can satisfy you. And you guys know what I'm talking about. How many have worked hard to get something that you wanted? You just worked and you saved and you worked and you saved. And you finally got it and it was great for a moment. You know, you waited to Christmas morning, you know, and you had a pretty good idea what you're getting for Christmas, but you couldn't open it until Christmas morning, and then finally Christmas morning you open that gift and you say, oh, man, awesome! And if you cheated and you looked, you pretended you didn't know, right? You're like, oh, wow, I'm so surprised! But you still had to wait for it. And because you waited for it, the value was increased. But even in that, what happens a week later? Maybe 2 weeks. Things out in the yard rusting or... And now you're looking for a new shiny object, right? Something else. To so-called fill up the void in your life that you think stuff is going to fill. Well, if you're delighting in the Lord, you'll realize that. It's nice to have stuff, amen, but it's not about the stuff. Praise God. We are rich in the Lord. We need to be rich towards God. Amen. Full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Leanness of soul comes to the man or woman who stops seeking God. You see, a person that is satisfied in the world stops seeking God. They may even go to church. But you know what I'm saying? You may be involved even in church. You may be teaching classes or singing in the worship team or some kind of involvement. You may be doing some kind of ministry for God. How many know you can be doing stuff for God but not really walking with God? In some cases, people know about God, but they don't know God. But if we stop seeking God, we're like a plant. You know? We just read it. It's like a tree. Amen? It's planted by the water. Its roots go down deep. Drinks from the living water, from His presence. And is satisfied and is constantly bearing fruit. Even in the time of drought, it says that it will still bear fruit. But those who do not seek the Lord, those who are seeking man and the government and as being their God. And are you hearing me? Somebody, they're being like that parched, you know, shrub in the wilderness. That it never produces any fruit. And you know another thing, guys, think about it. You can have a fruit tree. And we've had one. I remember on our property growing up, we had a fruit tree that it just made these beautiful flowers, you know? But it never produced any fruit. It made good firewood. Do you understand? God is looking for fruit. He isn't just looking for pretty faces and pretty Christians, amen? And as a matter of fact, he's looking for some warriors. He's looking for some battle soldiers here, amen? He's got a lot of parade soldiers. But what he's looking for are combat-ready, effective, powerful, amen, vessels. Strong in the Lord and in the power of what? His might. As you're building up your spirit, man, feasting on God. Hallelujah. So guys, what I want to say today is, listen, cut out of your life anything that will come between you and God, that will choke out, amen, the life of God in you. And instead, replace those things with Him. Time with Him, in the Word, in prayer, in the service of the King. Actively walking with Jesus. Amen. Bearing fruit. As we abide in Him, we will bear fruit. As we continue with Him, we will bear fruit. Because apart from Him, what? We can do nothing. And so we got to be very careful that we avoid these things. Other things that would come between us. You can't be full of the Lord if you're full of yourself. We got to devote ourselves daily to seek the Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Keep your mind on Him. Talk to Him. Acknowledge Him. Lord, what are we doing today? Starting on my day out today. Lord, I give you my life. I give you my day. Father, I pray your kingdom come and your will be done this day in my life. I pray as it is in heaven, it will be also on the earth through my life here. God, I thank you that you are my daily bread, that you provide the grace and everything that I have need of. So, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Amen. And, Lord, if there's any sin, please forgive me. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Wash me in your blood. And, Lord, fill me up. Amen. Fill me up with your Spirit. Hallelujah. Lead me away from evil. Lead me in your paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Hallelujah. Lead me in the way that I should go this day. Make my path straight, Lord. Hallelujah. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. We devote ourselves to prayer, to worship, to filling up on the Lord, study of God's word, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So if you're spiritually diligent, you'll bear fruit. And like I said in the very beginning, it doesn't happen automatically. Being strong in the Lord is something that we are required to do. We are to remain strong. We are to make sure that we keep the flame. We are to make sure that we keep a supply of oil to our vessel. God supplies everything. It's freely given, but my responsibility as a follower of Jesus is to keep my tank full. Amen? If I stay filled with Jesus, there will be an overflow. There will be an expression of His heart through my life in this world. But if I don't stay filled, be very careful, because then you will start looking for other things to fill the emptiness. And after a while, you can find your life being crowded out by too many other things. And you find all of a sudden, I'm not bearing fruit anymore. I used to bear a lot of fruit. My life was filled with Jesus. My heart was in love with Jesus. I was on fire for Jesus. I loved to tell people about Jesus. I loved to spend time with Jesus. I loved to get together with God's people as often as possible. I enjoyed my conversations with the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. And now I'm finding myself just kind of distracted by so many things and preoccupied with other things. And all of a sudden now it's like, I'm not even finding an interest. I think I'll just sleep in this morning instead of go to church. I think I'll just watch the game instead of go to evening service. Well, how many know what I'm saying today? You get it? Where's your treasure at? That's where your heart's at. This is a good way to examine myself. If He's not my priority, guys, let me ask you this. Do you really love God more than your own life? Do you love God more than your husband? Than your wife? Do you love God more than your comfort? Do you love God more than anything? Because if we do, our life will demonstrate that. Our life will bear witness to that. Because then when I'm... Do you love God more than your sin? Than your vice? Do you love God more? Because if I love my sin more, I'm going to worship that. But if I love Jesus more, I'm going to say no to that and yes to Him. When I'm given the opportunity to engage in something that's sinful, if I love Jesus more, I'm going to say no to that and yes to Jesus. When there's an opportunity for me to get together with God's people, if I love Jesus more, come on somebody, I'm going to say no to what I think I want and say yes to what I know God wants. See, it's not always about how I feel. It's about doing what's right. And being a part of the body, being a part of the life of the body of Christ. Moving, working, admonishing, encouraging, exhorting one another as His people. As each one of us has been given a divine deposit from the Lord. What are we doing with that divine deposit? What are we doing with the treasure that God has invested in us? We should be looking for an opportunity to invest it. We should be looking for somebody that's open to listen. They're there. Amen? There's people that want to hear what you have to say. There's people that would be interested in your testimony. There's people here today that need what you have. What are you doing with what you have? Are you listening to the voice of God? Jesus said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." I pray, Lord, that your word will resonate in our spirit, that, Lord God, it will transform our minds, our thinking, bring us into agreement with your will. Father, I pray today that you make your will our desire. God, forgive us for idols, idolatry. Are you willing today to forsake those things that are coming between you and God? That you might walk with Him and bear fruit, understanding that here we have no continuing city. We're only here for a moment, guys. Israel was only supposed to be in the wilderness for a short time. We're going somewhere. Set your focus, set your sight on things above where Christ is seated. Set your affections on things above. Let your heart rejoice in Him. Delight in Him. Make Him the desire of your heart and of your life. Prioritize God's will above yours. And God will take care of all those things. And you'll find yourself not worried about anything. Because you know your Father's faithful to take care of you. But only seek Him first. Love Him more. You know, Peter was the one that thought he loved Jesus more. Jesus challenged him, didn't he? Do you love me more than these, Peter? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. He's saying, you have a new life now. You have a new mission now, Peter. It's no longer what you want to do. Now you're going to do the will of God. Now you're going to walk with God. Amen? Because you're no longer a citizen of this world. You're a citizen of heaven. And you're supposed to be working, amen, towards that. Amen? And the day comes when you will see Jesus, and every one of us here will. And I want to hear Him say, what? Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads and just, where you're at right now, maybe you need to settle some things in your own heart. I don't know. Talk to the Lord about it. If you need to surrender to Him, surrender today. Give up the fight. Give it to God. If there are idols in your life, you know they're idols, they're things that you have replaced God with. Repent today. Topple those things. Get rid of those things. If you have to, get rid of them completely. If you don't have the discipline to overcome it, get rid of it altogether. Whatever it is that would come between you and God. Don't allow those things to cause you to become lean in your soul, to become weak in your spirit. But be strong in the Lord as you make God your priority. The will of God your priority. The mission that God's called you to your priority. To live for Him. All the time of the past, when we've indulged ourselves and lived for self, Now it's time to live for Him. The one who died for us and rose again. He ever lives to make intercession for you. He's there for you if you call on the name of Jesus to rescue you, to deliver you, to help you. He will. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemings of the devil. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.